God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Every week we're going to have a different game show for the next 6 weeks. This is going to be interesting. Did you bring your Bibles? Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. You bought it all. And today I pray you'd open our hearts, open our eyes, that you'd speak to us out of your word and the promises you've given us. We thank you, God. You've made us rich with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Anoint me. Let your anointing fall upon us, Lord. That we would see, that we'd leave this place different than the way we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the first step in God's six-step success plan. Discovering unlimited resources and riches. And I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians and open to the first chapter. I want to read to you a true story. She'd gone down in history as America's greatest miser. Yet when she died in 1916, Hetty Green left an estate valued at over $100 million. Think what that was worth in 1916. She ate cold oatmeal because it cost too much to heat it. Her son had to suffer the amputation of a leg because she delayed so long in looking for a free clinic that his case became incurable. She was wealthy, yet she chose to live like a pauper. Eccentric? Certainly. Crazy? Maybe. But nobody could prove it. She was so foolish that she hasted her own death by bringing on an attack of apoplexy, which is a stroke, while arguing about the value of drinking skimmed milk. True. But Hetty Green is an illustration of too many Christian believers today. We have limitless wealth at our disposal, and yet many live like paupers. And it was that kind of Christian that Paul was writing to in this letter to the Ephesians. Look in chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's just read it together. I think it's going to be on the screen as well. Blessed be the God. Sing it, yes. Blessed be the God. No, can we just read this together? Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The theme of Ephesians, the whole book, is the blessings of God, his riches, resources, his wealth, all that God gives us, everything that pertains to life. Now, it's true that these resources certainly include, you know, financial blessings, material things. It says that God's given us everything to richly enjoy in 1 Timothy 6:17. But we need to see that it's much more than that. That God's given us more than just material things. The greatest blessings, the greatest treasures we have, matter of fact, really aren't material things. There's things much greater than that in our lives. Would we trade a child for everything there is in the world? Would we trade our own soul for things that are in the world? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us into glory. So in all things, every area, it's unlimited. I want us to see it today. The Holy Spirit wants to open our hearts. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about the riches of God. It says in chapter 1, verse 7, the riches of grace. In chapter 2, verse 7, it talks about the riches of grace. In chapter 1, verse 18 and 3:16, it talks about the riches of His glory that He's given unto us. In chapter 2, verse 4, it says the riches of mercy. Chapter 3, verse 8, it says the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. We'll never even understand or comprehend all the riches that God has given us through His Son. And notice it says that He's given to us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All spiritual blessings. Not some. All of them. Everything. I want you to take note, too, where it says all blessings in spiritual places, that in the original language, it says in the heavenlies in Christ. That it's not that our blessings are in heaven, that it's the source of them. It's where they originated. They all emanate from them. That God gives us those blessings now. They belong to us. So if we really are honest, where are we living in what God's given us according to the inheritance? How many of us are living so far below our inheritance privileges that we can say, I've really received all that God has for me. I've really received that full potential. In every realm of my life, man, I can say I'm just overwhelmed and I've received everything that God has. Well, there's not a person in the room that can raise their hand. None of us have come to that place to receive the fullness of God and His blessings, His potential, His purpose, His plan, all that He has. And God wants us to rise up out of our spiritual and material poverty and begin to know God's unlimited resources and riches. In every area is what I'm talking about. So just as kind of a preliminary, I want to share, first of all, that it talk about the blessing of God in verse 3. That He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And I want us to know that God's blessed it. He's blessed it. This is an important point. Without the blessing of God on our resources and riches, without the blessing of God on all of our activities and the things we're doing and we're seeking and all of our endeavors, we're never going to experience success. We are never going to receive satisfaction. I don't care what you have. Without God's blessing on it, you never are going to be satisfied. You're never going to be successful. I mean, look at Hetty Green. She had all this, and yet, you know, was she successful? Was she satisfied? No. Look at people like Howard Hughes. Oh, fame and position and you know, accomplishments and notoriety and money. But he was miserable. Died alone. Really, a pauper spiritually. So God wants to bless you. It says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Don't you get that? That the blessing of the Lord makes us rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. And so if we're seeking to get the worldly stuff without really seeking God, we're never going to have satisfaction. We're never going to find success. And let's look at, again, a preliminary here in B, and that's the will of God. You know, that success and satisfaction cannot and will not come except through the will and the plan of God for your life. I want you to get this. So I'm seeking, I just want to be successful. I want. You're never going to find it except in the will of God. You hear what I said? Say it with me. I will never find it except in the will and the plan of God. Never. Do whatever you want. If you're not seeking God and putting Him first, you're never going to find success. You're never going to find blessing and fullness and come into all the resources and tap into the things that God has for you to fulfill His plan and His will. So God's going to give you everything you need to walk in His purpose and in His plan. You know, and I'm not just talking about being in ministry. Look at the Brandys this morning. As God put them in a place, they know they're in the center of the will of God. You know, and who? Yeah, I'm sure when they start off life, they say, someday I want to grow up and give snacks through the YMCA to schools over at Pinellas. You know, that I'm sure that was not their plan at all. But God did that, and God blessed them, and God has so now abundantly blessed them in their heart. You talk to them, is to give. They get such joy and satisfaction out of giving. Taught a class here on giving through Crown. They have a small group on Crown and on giving. And so as they find God's find fulfillment and find success in their life, and God's blessed them. I mean, they have been blessed, not only through their daughter and their life together and what the Lord's using them to do. They have a beautiful home, and the Lord's blessed them. But it has to do with His plan. It has to do with His will and what God's doing in their lives. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 17, the NIV, listen to this. It says, and it'll be on your screen. Yeah. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Devil's looking to make a deal. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Next week, I'm going to talk about finding your assignment, forging your future, as we continue to move and take those steps to God's success plan, what He wants to do in your life. Next thing is the grace of God. And in verse 2, we saw over and over here, it talks about the riches of His grace. I want us to understand, in the Old Covenant, God wanted to bless, He wanted to bring benefits, they were provided. But the big difference between the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and the New Covenant is the word if. The blessings would come if they would meet the demands of God and the law. And they never could. The difference in the New Testament is grace. That we all have received the fullness of God's blessing now, already. They're given to us. That God has given the provision in Christ. They are a present possession. I don't have to be good to get them. That I have already received that inheritance, and it all came by grace. I'm not working to get it. It was given to me when I found the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just simply now to lay our hands on them by faith through the Lord Jesus. We don't work for them. We don't have to try to be good and follow the law, and then maybe I'll get them. They're all ours, every one of us. There's no difference. By faith, we discover them, and then we claim them. Now, I'm not talking about not walking in God's will. You know, I have them. They've been given to me. I'd be foolish to turn and go my own way and not follow the course and the plan that God has for my life to walk in that fullness that He's already given to me. It's in the bank. It's there. It's full. There's nothing that's held back. God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All of them. All of them. Already. It doesn't say He's going to. Do you notice that? But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings that come from heavenly places. So God wants us to know this is not just a lot of hype. God wants us to discover His unlimited resources and riches as we walk in life, and that we're reigning in life, not being trampled on in life. God wants us to be the head, not the tail. Hallelujah. We're not the feet, we're the head. We're reigning and ruling with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what God has for us. Now, I want to share just in Ephesians 1 some of these blessings that He shows us here just in chapter 1. Look in verse 4. We could spend a long time doing this, but I just want to go through them quickly. So He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings that come from heavenly places, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love. That He's chosen us in Him. That He always knew you. That He always loved you. That you have been picked out by God. You know, where it's talking here about God's election, He's chosen us, it's a mystery. I don't even want to try to explain election. All I know is God chose me and that He loved me before I ever was. And God saw me saved. And it says in John 15:16, it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and your fruit should remain. And that whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you." He's talking about being successful. He's talking about life, finding meaning and purpose and knowing all that God has for us. He ordained it to be so. That He elected you to walk in that victory. And so I know that there's people that argue, that they say, oh, God's elected you, so it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. Whoever's going to get saved is going to get saved. And then on the other side, you know, it says, no, we have a choice. We have a will, free will. And you know, well, both things are true. I am elected in God, and I do have a free will and a choice. And God said that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He died for the whole world. Hallelujah. Can you say that? Do you understand that? That he gave his son, that whosoever, anybody. And to say, well, yeah, but there's some people that God chose for hell. That is a lie. You know, that God chose every person, whosoever will, that they can know eternal life. Well, how can that be that we have a free will and at the same time we're elected? It seems like they don't agree together. Well, I want to tell you something else. How many know that Jesus Christ is holy God, completely God? How many believe that Jesus Christ is holy, completely man? Now, how does that work? He's holy, completely God, yet he's holy, completely man? How many believe that's both true? They're both true, even though, how can that be? I don't have to figure it out. I just know that it's true. He is completely God. He is completely man. He loved me and chose me before I ever was, and that I had a free will, and I accepted him, and he knew what I was going to do, but I had a free will. And here I am today. Woohoo! And he loved me and presented me to himself without blame. And he's loved me and cast his love upon me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you one thing. I don't have to figure it out. I'm just going to enjoy it. And I'm going to share it with as many people as I can. They can say, well, I got mine. I'm elected. I hope you're elected. God told us to preach the gospel to the whole world. He said to pray that all men might be saved. We have a responsibility, and that people can choose. And so that God has always loved you, and that he's presented you before the foundation of the world. He saw you holy, blameless. You're a somebody. He's loved you. You are destined to win. You ordained to be successful and to be fruitful. That's God's promise to you. I'd say that's riches. To know that? I mean, oh man. How'd you like to walk into a job and that, you know, you never worked there before, and you go in there, Ronnie, and you walk in the door, and the guy says, I guarantee right now, I already know you're going to be successful at this, and you cannot fail. I guarantee it, you will be successful at this job. You will not fail. It's going to happen. I promise you, it's guaranteed. I'll put it in writing if a man did that. You go, let me sign it, man. Well, that's what God says. God says, Ronnie's going to be successful. He is going to be fruitful. Hallelujah. If he abides in him, everything that he puts his hand to in the Lord is going to flourish. It's going to be fruitful. He's going to be blessed. He's going to know joy. He's going to know peace. He's going to know all the fruits of the Spirit. I'd say that's a blessing. How about you? Here's the next thing. Here's the sex thing. Next thing. Look in verse 5. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his free will. This word adoption, we've heard before. The word adoption is euthesia in Greek. It's made up of two words. It's made up of tathemia, which means to place. And huos means adult son. It means to place us as an adult son. Let's read it. He chose us... And then he's predestinated us into the adoption of children. That word is techna. We've been born again. He became our father. We found the Lord. In Bible times, adoption was not a legal transaction as we know it today. That maybe some of you were adopted or you adopted children. And that's awesome. But what it's talking about in Bible times was recognizing a natural son as they came into adulthood. That was called adoption. That they recognized him as adult. And when they recognized him adult, they came into all the rights and all the privileges and to the inheritance privileges that they had now as that adult child. They received all those things. And so when it tells us that we've been adopted by the Lord, the moment that we were saved, the very moment, not later on, he didn't put us on probation. He didn't say, well, let's see how you do after a year. At least learn to crawl. you know, and then waddle around a little bit. The moment that any person received Jesus Christ, they were placed as an adult in full standing with all the blessing of God, with a complete inheritance. A person that's 1 minute old in the Lord Jesus, that's been born again, has the same rights and the same privilege as a person that's been walking with Jesus for 56 years or however long you've been along with the Lord. We have the full benefits, the full privilege. You know, in Romans chapter 8, listen to what it says as it's talking about this. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, euthesia, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God." There it is, technon, that you're born again. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." I'm not just an heir, I am a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord God. You don't understand what a joint heir is? A what? An equal heir, joint heirs. I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he has, he's given to me. When I was born again, I became an adult son. You became an adult in the kingdom of God. And you qualified and everything's been given to you that Jesus bought and paid for it. And now we're members of the family of God. And God is my Father. Where I've cried, Abba Father, Papa Father. You're too quiet in here. I'm getting blessed. Hallelujah. You understand? It's not going to happen. It's already happened. You've already received your inheritance. It's yours. It belongs to you. In verse 6, it says, "To the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." That, notice, in Christ. 120 times in scriptures, it's in Christ, in him, in whom, in Jesus. That when I received Christ, I was placed into Christ by the Spirit of God. And that my life is in Jesus. My life is hid in Christ. And that Jesus is loved and accepted by the Father. And when I was placed in Christ, the very same acceptance, the same position, the same privilege, the same love that Father has for Jesus, he has for me. There's no difference. That's what we did. We exchanged our life for Christ's life. We died and entered into newness of life in the Lord Jesus. We exchanged our life. You're getting your life changed. Change my life. You know, God's not going to change your life. There was nothing good to even change. He had to wipe you out. You died. Hallelujah. Now we're raised in newness of life. We've exchanged our old life. It's a dead. We're dead. That's the old man. If any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything. What? Everything. Say it. Everything becomes new. And so my life is in Christ now. He's accepted me. I'm accepted in the same way the Father accepts Jesus. I mean, is that a blessing? That means he sees me the way he sees Jesus? The same favor? The same position? Same access to the throne? Anything I ask in his name, he's going to do it for me? Nothing held back? See, automatically, I see it. I see question marks on faces all over the room. It's not coming by your goodness or by your righteousness. It came by what Jesus Christ did on the cross and what he purchased and what he bought for you. And then it comes by faith, by receiving. Am I going to believe what you say about yourself, or am I going to believe what God says about you? The Lord says he's given you an inheritance through his Son, and you're accepted in him. It tells us in verse 7 that in whom, in Christ, in whom, in Jesus, we've been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He's redeemed you. He's forgiven you. You know, in Rome, at the time this was written, there were 6 million slaves. 6 million slaves. They understood completely what it meant about redemption. To redeem a slave, for them to have to pay a price to get free. Do you remember Apostle Paul said that he became a Roman citizen by a great price that he paid, and so he became now a Roman citizen? That he was redeemed and now became a part of the privileges of being a Roman. But a slave could be redeemed if the price was paid. That's what happened to us. Jesus Christ paid what was required to set us free, to bring freedom to us. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from the devil, freedom from this evil world, freedom from all those things that would pull us away, freedom from this little horn nippy looking guy up here that would try to make a deal with us and pull us in. I'm free. He's got nothing to do with me anymore. He's under my feet. I'm redeemed and I am forgiven. Man, those are some awesome words. Forgiven of every sin I ever committed. Somebody say, praise God, amen. Woo-hoo-hoo. I mean, you should be jumping up and down about it right now. Man, if you got as many sins I had in my life, you would be jumping up and down. And I believe you did. Hallelujah. So, man, an awesome thing. Freedom, forgiveness, our sins forgotten. God's favor. I have His favor. And everything I do, that's what grace is. Unmerited favor. Here's the next thing. Here's the next blessing that it talks about in this chapter. These are just a few. There are many, many more. Look in verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So, He's given it to us already. Everything God is. Listen, this is what He's given us. Everything that God is. Everything that God has. Everything. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, He's given to us. You better think big now. You're not there. I'm talking about God. How big is He? How big is He? He's a great big God. Listen, better think big. Everything that He is, everything that He has, has been given to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is real. This is real. This is real. When a relative dies, you know, they may leave an inheritance. Jesus died and left an inheritance. He owns everything. He's the heir of everything. And when He died, He left a new testament, a new covenant. He left His will and testament. It says in Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us everything, all things? And so there was an inheritance that was left. But here's the deal. Not only did Jesus die, and so that His testament, His covenant was fulfilled, but He's alive. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, think of a relative. They died, and they leave you everything they have, and then they rise from the dead. I mean, you know, we'd rather have the relative than have what they owned, right? But we got it both. Hallelujah. We've got everything that He is that He's given to Himself. But I want you to understand, the greatest treasure you have is Jesus Christ Himself. He lives in you. He lives for us. My life is hid with Him. And so, God's blessed us. Get hold of it. Look in verse 13. Here's the next thing. I got to hurry. And look, it says, number 6. He sealed us and given us an earnest. We know what an earnest is. You get a house. You put down earnest money. It's a down payment. Someone gets engaged. They give an earnest that they're going to do what they said they would do and not run away. They're going to show up at the altar. They give them a big chunk of rock. Put it on their finger. Don't get a little puny, teeny stone on there, man. Say, I want a good earnest. Give me a good earnest. I want something I don't have to come with a magnifying glass. I want an earnest. Hallelujah. Walk around with it. Show it off. This is the earnest. Look at that. Check out that rock. This guy loves me. Am I doing okay, ladies? You're single? All right. None of this Cracker Jack box little plastic ring stuff. You know what? Flash Gordon Dakota ring or whatever, you know, or cigar band. Forget it, man. I want an earnest. I want to make sure you're going to show up. If he doesn't show up, you keep the ring. It belongs to you. That's right. Is that right? You put money on in house and you pay earnest. You don't go through with the deal. You keep the earnest. They broke their word. That's what the earnest is for. So God's given us an earnest and sealed us with the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit has given us as the earnest. God says, here it is. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to show you this whole thing's going to be done. And one of these days, the whole thing, you're going to be transformed. You're going to become just like me. Spirit of God is going to raise you up in the same way I was raised from the dead. You're going to be raised up. You're going to be changed in a moment. You're going to have a glorified body. I'm putting the Spirit of God in you to bear witness with you. This thing is real. You're engaged to me forever. You're my bride. Woo-hoo-hoo, man. Yeah. Hi. Hey. Do you see it? Do you see that jewel twinkle? Yeah, look in my eyes. You'll see. He's in there. You'll see that twinkle. You know the Spirit of God is there. It's the earnest. And that we've been sealed. We know what a seal is. A seal is a stamp or a seal you put on something that's a finished transaction. You do it for legal papers. You put a seal on it. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. It's an obligation that will be fulfilled. It speaks of ownership. You put a seal of ownership on something. Property of United States government or whatever it may be. It's a mark of recognition. The seal. It's a seal of security. That you put a seal on something. You put a seal around a crime scene. You put a seal on anything to seal your house. You know, you lock your doors. You seal. A seal is a thing of protection, of safety. A sealed in area. That's what the Holy Spirit is. That the Holy Spirit has been given to you. It's His seal of ownership. You belong to me. You are property of God. Hallelujah. You are God's people. You're the property of God. Here's the promise, hallelujah, that you've been sealed. It's a finished transaction sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a done deal. You can count on it, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with you that you are a child of God. And we have security because of it, and we have God's protection because of it, because we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you know what else does a seal do? It preserves things. You know, we know what seals are. They don't do it much anymore. And, you know, the ball jars we see it. You open a Pepsi can, you know, it's been sealed. If you open something at the store and it doesn't go when it should go and you don't want it, it's not been sealed. Do you understand? We've been sealed by the Spirit of God. And that He sealed us for what? He sealed us for delivery. You get it? He's going to present us what? Blameless. He sealed me. Set me aside. I mean, is that a blessing? Man, that God lives in me and through me by His Spirit. All right, I got to go. Here's the seventh thing. There's lists. That it tells us in verse 19, He's given us His power. And what is the exceeding greatness of it? I'm not just power. God's given us the exceeding greatness of His power to every one of us who believe according to the work in His mighty power, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So I'm not experiencing it. That's my point. God wants you to tap into resurrection power in your life to start walking up on top of your circumstances. This isn't hype. This is God's word. These things are true. That God's given us power to live by. That we can draw on His power. An inner power that gives us peace no matter what's going on around us. Doesn't mean you won't have problems. But you're going to have power to overcome any temptation that comes your way by the Holy Spirit. You're going to have power to protect you no matter what happens to you. Many, hallelujah, are the afflictions of the righteous. But God, what? Delivered them out of every one of them. And so we're talking about the power of God to watch over you, to protect, to keep you. That the power to give you victory over temptations and to give you wisdom and strength when things come your way. So God's given us everything that pertains to life. Everything that pertains to life. Now, I'm sharing with you God's six-step success plan. This first one that God's given to us is we discover God's unlimited resources and riches. We're just tapping the surface of this thing. You know, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God has given us all things, everything. God has given us everything that pertains to life. I mean, that's abundant life. It's not just life. I've come to give you life and to give it to you what? More abundantly. Abundant life. That's what the Lord has come to give us. Now think about it. You know, it's not just stuff. God promised He would meet all of our needs with that stuff. But God's given me great wealth. The Lord's given me everything I need for life. He's given me His wisdom. He's given me His protection. He's given me His favor. He's given me His word. He works behind the scenes. He goes before me. He makes a way. He watches over me. He moves things out of the way. They're going to hinder my success. Yeah, can you imagine if you could pay a firm? If you could pay a firm and say, listen, I want this plan. You said you have a plan that's going to work by your computer, that wherever I go, they're going to know where I am, and that they'll make sure that I'm always protected, and that you're going to fulfill the best possible plan I could ever have in life, and that everything that happens to me is going to work together for good. I want to sign up for it. Where do I sign up? You can sign up right here. Our computer will be on you all day and night. How much does that cost? It costs, $6 trillion. Okay, that's great. You know, what would we pay for that? You've got it. Jesus Christ paid for it. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, you are tapped into heaven's radar screen by the Holy Spirit. He's got his hand on you every moment of every day, when you're sleeping, when you're awake. He's promised he'll be with you. He'll protect you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you into his perfect will, into his perfect plan. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be fruitful. He will give you the wisdom. I mean, when you go into that meeting, God says, I've already dealt with their hearts. I've given you favor. You go in with confidence. And if that doesn't work out, then trust me, because I got something better for you. Wipe the dust off your feet. Quit moaning and groaning and crying. Oh, I can't believe it really all fell apart. I thought she loved me. She doesn't love me. She ran away with the plumber. Man, hallelujah. Hallelujah, you need to thank God he put a monkey wrench into the equipment. He's got something better for you. Trust him. So God's got the plan. He's got the riches. He's got the resources for your life. You know, I love this scripture. I've shared it many times. But in John chapter 13:3, Jesus, he knows that he's going to die. He knows that he's been betrayed. And I just love this verse where it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he would come from God and that he went to God. There's three things that Jesus knows. He knows it. He knows he came from God. He knew God had a purpose for his life, that there was a providential plan that God had for him before he ever came to earth, and that he was going to walk into it and he was going to be successful. And he knew every step he took that the Father was leading and directing him. He came from God. He didn't have any identity problems. Who am I? I don't know who I am. I don't know where I came from. He knew exactly who I was. And if you've gotten saved, you should know exactly who you are as a son of God and as a daughter of God. You should know where your life came from. I'm a member of the family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not a nobody. Do you understand? I am a son of the Lord God himself, a son of glory. And that God has a plan for my life. I know where I came from through new birth and my relationship to the Lord. And that God said he would provide everything I need for life. Everything I need to be successful. Anything that God's called me to do, that God would bring. Where's number two? That God would give me whatever it took. His provision is there. He's given me everything through Jesus. Do you understand? When I step out in the will of God, I have complete confidence that God is going to back me up with everything I need to walk in his will and in his plan. Hello, you're not getting this. I mean, God doesn't have a cutoff point. He said, if you reached your limit on your credit card, I'm cutting you off. There's no limit. Think big. God has more for you than you've been thinking. God has great and mighty things ordained for your life. God has ordained that you do great exploits for the Lord God. God wants to bless you. And that Jesus knew where he was going. He knew he was going to finish it. He knew that God was going to keep his promises and that he was going to be victorious. Well, you know where you're going. We're going to fulfill God's will. He's going to give us everything it takes to walk and be successful. And one of these days, we're going to stand before him face to face. I'm going to be transformed, changed in a moment. He's going to say, I pray, well done, good and faithful servant. How we know where we're going. What's that worth? Quit boo-hooing and whining and crying. I don't know. they'll pray for me. Pray yourself. You got an open access and door into heaven through the name of Jesus Christ. So Karen, pray for me. I just know you're a super saint. And, you know, listen, Jesus Christ is the super saint, you know. I mean, Karen's great, but how about, you know, you trust in Jesus himself? Don't you know? You've got connections in high places. God wants you to get a vision. God wants you to start praying and seeking him and what he has for you. Next week, we're going to talk about finding your assignment and forging your future. We should be getting tired of being sick and tired. God has so much more for you. Yeah, it's going to take faith. Yes, you're going to have to stand up against the lies of the devil and not be tempted to give in and do this because it looks good. Stand in God. His promises will come to pass. Every one of them. Stand. Stand. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word and who you are. I thank you, Lord. And I pray today that this word would go in the hearts of men and women all over this room. As by faith, we get into your word and we discover, Lord, the unlimited resources and riches that you've given to us in every area of life, everything that pertains to life, everything you've given to us as we walk in your will and plan. Father, I pray today the people, Lord, that have been walking down the long, wrong road looking for it, they're going to turn back. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and all these other things to be added. I pray today we're going to see that there's no future there. They're not going to bring satisfaction. They're not going to deliver. They're not going to do what they promised. They will not find success, Lord, in your eyes. I pray today for people, Lord, that have been in a groove, in a rut, afraid to step out in faith, I pray they're going to begin to seek you. Lord, you're going to show them. You told us not to be unwise in understanding what your will is. You're going to make it clear. You want us to know more than you do what your will is. You want us to be blessed more than we want to be blessed ourselves. Lord, you want us to walk in health. That's why you gave your son, and the stripes were put on his back. Lord, you want us to know freedom in every area of our life and joy. That's why you came. That's why your son was sacrificed. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed today. If you're here and you've never taken that first step of faith, it comes through Jesus. It doesn't come from trying to be good and going to church. The blessings of God don't come by working for it. If you don't. They come by believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. The moment you believe in him, he's going to send his spirit into your heart. You're going to meet him and know him. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's if a man just will enter it to the Lord through new birth, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's no other way in. It doesn't come by being good. The Bible says there's nobody good. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of your good works, so nobody can brag about it. He just waits for you to open the door. Trust him. He paid the price. He's redeemed you. He's set you free. And you'll find new life. The Bible says if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you try to keep your life, you'll end up losing it. This is real. Your soul is a real thing. Either you're going to sit on the throne of your heart or you're going to allow God to sit on the throne of your life. One or the other. And today, if you say, Pastor John, I don't know if Jesus is in my life. I believe in Jesus. But I've never done that to put my trust in Christ alone without any good works at all, nothing. Just that God would give it to me as a gift unconditionally. That's right. That's what he promises. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I know what I deserve, and I know what God gave me through grace. I didn't deserve it. He gave it to me. And that's why we spend our life in thanksgiving, living for him because of what he's given. And if that's you today, I want you to lift your hand up and say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? And wherever you are, I want you to look at me when you lift your hand and you say, I want to know that. I want to have the assurance that Christ is in my life. I want to have the assurance of eternal life. I can receive this without any good works. Jesus on the cross said, it's finished. I did it. I paid for it at all. Now we just receive it. If we don't receive it, that's your choice. But it's given. It's yours. There it is. All those riches, they're just waiting for us. But we've got to know him. They all come through Christ. And if that's you today, I want you to lift your hand up wherever you are in this room and say, Pastor John, will you pray for me when I see it? Then you can put it down. But you just lift your hand right now. I'm going to wait a minute because I want you to be honest. Do you have the assurance if you died today, you'd go to heaven? You say, oh, yes, I do. And what gives you that assurance? Well, I try really to be good. But the Bible says there is nobody good. So nobody's getting into heaven by being good. There's a hand back there. I see your hand. So I go to church. Well, so does the devil go to church. It says, you know, the devil even believes in Jesus. It says devils believe and tremble with fear. The devil can come before the very throne of God and make accusations about us. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. That'd be saying, you know, if you go to church and become a saint, what would happen if you went to a barn? If just going into a building made you something, would you become a cow? You become a saint by new birth. It's supernatural. Jesus comes into your life. You can meet him and you can find out yourself. It's an experience. I'm going to ask one more time, and we'll close today. You lift your hand up. I know in my heart that there's somebody here. You've never received Jesus. And you're walking on thin ice, and you don't even know it. The Lord died for you. He loves you so much, more than you can imagine. He always has loved you. And I just want you to lift your hand. You say, pray for me, wherever you are. When I see your hand, you can put it down. Thank you so much. Thank you. I see your hand. I want to ask while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and let's all stand to our feet and stay in an attitude of prayer. We're going to do something a little differently today when we close the service. How many of you right now, you just know you haven't come into that place to receive what God has for your life? That, you know, there's things that you need.